they're going to have an exciting time back there today. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, as I mentioned, we're teaching through Proverbs, and the Lord has been speaking to me all week about this message, about staying in Proverbs for a sermon. Somebody said the difference between preaching and teaching is preaching you yell a little bit louder. And that's a joke, but thank you for getting that and laughing at it. But in Proverbs chapter 4, we will start there, and look with me at verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Boy, that is a powerful verse. I mean, that sets the priorities right. And our Lord and Savior, in all things, he should have the preeminence. But this is God's word. Look back at chapter 3, and look with me at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. If you just had those verses in the Bible, you would see the importance of having wisdom. And we find out where we get that wisdom. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. And there are so many places in Proverbs that are like this, and throughout the scripture. But we'll just read a few of these. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Desire to have the wisdom of God. Bob Jones Sr. said that wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge to successfully meet the emergencies of life. So we take wisdom. If it's just knowledge, a lot of people have knowledge. Matter of fact, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. So without wisdom and how to use the knowledge for the glory of God, it can make somebody proud and absolutely take them farther away from God than bring them close to God. I mean, it's important to have to know the Bible, amen, and to understand it. But God does something special for us. Ecclesiastes 7:12. The excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom gives life to them that have it, because then they can use knowledge for the glory of God. I think that's a blessing. Well, let's be dismissed in prayer. Amen? Amen. just wanted to find out who we got here. Amen? 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It pleased God. This is how God wants to do this. Amen? He wants the word preached. Preach the word. That's what Paul told Timothy. God said to Jonah, "Preach the preaching that I bid thee." And so we do preach the word. And we do have direction from the Lord in everything that a preacher preaches. Is that right, Jeremiah? We pray about these things. I think it's wise to hear preaching. I think it's really, really wise, because you can hear God speak to you. It's not the preacher, it's the word. And that word is directed into our hearts. Titus 1:3, "But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." He manifests his word through preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. We have in 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul said this. He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." There's so many verses, and I want to lay a real solid foundation, and we'll get into the Bible stories and the applications, and we'll see how God wants to apply this in every life here. And it may be different for you than somebody else. It's like a smorgasbord, amen? And there's all of this up here, all of these verses, but some of these will really ring the bell. Some of these will resonate deep down in your soul, and you'll say, "Boy, I was looking for that today." God has a way of doing that. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, Paul said to the church there, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." We have in Proverbs 8:14, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength." When you connect with the Lord, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. When you connect with the Lord, there's a strength that gives. There's an understanding, there's a wisdom, there's a comfort, amen, the comfort of the scriptures, and all of the verses that we could quote or that you know by heart. How God connects us through the Word of God. And He speaks that. And so, you know, in our daily devotions, we read through the Bible. Maybe you're reading straight through. Good luck in Leviticus. Amen. But, you know, if you're reading different sections and you see how God speaks to you, and line upon line, precept upon precept, and they go together. There are spiritual things that declare spiritual, other spiritual truths. Proverbs 1:2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And that's the book of Proverbs, as well as other books in the Bible, if not all the books in the Bible. The words of understanding. James 1:22, and again, there's hundreds of verses like what we've just read, but it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So wisdom is taking the knowledge and the understanding of the knowledge and applying it in our lives. Amen? And that's the transforming power. We're renewed in our minds, and that causes us to do something, to present our body a living sacrifice to the Lord. So that's what's going to take place today, if that's what you'd like. Amen? Because you can choose wisdom or not choose wisdom. And you can be as wise as you want to be when you leave the service. Last Sunday, we had a treasure hunt. Amen? We went through a lot of scriptures and on thinking and how that thinking affects my life and affects my mind. And so there was a lot there. And if you heard that, I'm sure it helped your life quite a bit. I want to take a self-test today, because they didn't have time to study, so I just got this out of a book somewhere. I'm kidding. But take a self-test, an aptitude test. That's a fitness test. Only this is a cognitive test. Cognitive means understanding, ability. So let's see what we understand about God. Take your Bibles and look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, I'll wait till you get there, Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young men, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That's a blessing. We are teaching through Proverbs in Sunday school. Let me ask you a question. Would it be wise or foolish to attend that Sunday school lesson? Boy. Amen? I mean, that's what the Bible does. In James, it says it's a light, and it manifests things. And when we go through the Bible, and these are precious verses, and wisdom is the principal thing, and with all thy getting, get wisdom. And we're teaching through Proverbs. I think that would be a good idea. Amen? I think that would be a wise choice. But I have a whole list of things here. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You see the good or the positive, and you see the negative. So I've always told children, go ask your mother and father if they're glad. If they're happy. Amen? And that's what the verse is saying, because, boy, a wise child really is a blessing in the home. Amen? And an unwise child, a foolish child, can cause a lot of grief. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Some people are always right. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. They're always right. They're never wrong. Isn't that something? But the Bible says that's impossible. But if we have a problem with that, we need to be able to hear counsel. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. And this book is filled with a bunch of counselors. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James. I mean, you can go through the whole Bible and find that. How about this one? Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Do you know contention? Is that predominant in your life? Or is there peace? How about a soft answer turneth away wrath? Amen? It's good to have a soft answer. And there's all kinds of ways to handle contention. We have Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. It says in Isaiah, God says to us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So when we come to the scripture, we have the very words of God. They're the thoughts of God, but they're the words of God. And we look at this, and this is what God says. And sometimes it doesn't match what we're saying. Amen? Our perception is different than his. And so we say, God's wise, and I need his wisdom. What did Solomon say? I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. That's a good place to be. That's not a bad place to be. God's wisdom is found in God's word. Do you spend time in God's word? God's wisdom is found there. Amen. Would that not be wise to spend time in God's word? Amen. This is pretty exciting, isn't it? Amen. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay. So who do we rub shoulders with? Your family, obviously. Neighbors, fellow workers, amen? But this goes a little deeper, because if you run with the wrong crowd, if you lie down with the dogs, you'll wake up with the fleas, amen? Somehow, all of that just gets on us. And so the Bible is talking about that. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you want wisdom, God says, ask for it. Amen? Would it not be wise to ask God for wisdom? Amen? Would it not be wise to spend time in the Word? That's God answering our prayers. And all of these different principles. Why did I do something so foolish? And then you come back to the providence of God. But to be able to have peace in your life and comfort in your life, you must have wisdom to understand the Word of God. Bible and prayer. Let a man examine himself. Search me, O God. Lead me in the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Every wise woman buildeth her house. The foolish plucketh it down with her hands. A wise man will hear, will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. I know I've given you a lot of verses. I've done that on purpose, because this is all what God is saying. One more verse. Proverbs 28:7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. He that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. There's so many biblical comparisons. This is righteous, this is unrighteous. This is light, this is dark. This is right, this is wrong. And God makes that so clear. There's no way to doubt it. Amen? And so we have the knowledge of it. We can quote verses. We know where to turn to find the book of James. We've been through the Bible maybe, but wisdom is knowing and making that a part of your life, because that's a great wisdom that God gives us. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, sweetness for bitterness, bitterness for sweetness. And they just have it all mixed up. I've got a number of stories here. 1 Samuel 25 is about Nabal, and he was such a man of Belial, you couldn't even talk to him. And David and his men were running from Saul, and there was a problem there with Nabal. And David told his men, put your swords, get your swords, and go take what you want to take. And Abigail, Nabal's wife, ran out to meet David, and she talked to him, and she toned him down, and she talked him out of doing that. And he said this, you're a wise woman. Thank you so much for doing that. I could have done the wrong thing by that. Isn't it nice? Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Somebody gets all upset and don't throw wood on the fire. Amen. Take wood off the fire or put some water on the fire. That is an important thing. And God says that all through the scriptures. There's stories about that. 1 Kings chapter 3. Why don't you turn there? 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is about Solomon. And Solomon, verse 3 of 1 Kings 3, Solomon loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. Boy, that's a great statement. And God said in verse 5, ask of thee what I shall give thee. And Solomon thought about it in verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And he says in verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And God gave him wisdom. He was a very, very, very wise man. We read about some of his exploits. Look with me at chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. He was a wise man. Boy, he was doing everything right. He loved the Lord. Chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. Wow. If that's the wisest man in the world, it shows you can't keep it very long. Amen? That was a very, very foolish thing to do, and it went completely opposite of what God had said to do. God said, this is what I want you to do, and he did. And the Bible goes on, and he had 700 wives, princesses. He was really dumb. Amen? I mean, it wasn't just one mistake. 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect. Just like God said, they will take your heart. Do you believe what God says? I believe what he says. I don't always want to do what he says. That's where you fight the flesh, Galatians chapter 5. But the flesh wants to do one thing, and the spirit wants to do another thing. And it's like the black dog and the white dog. If you feed the black dog, he's going to be stronger than the white dog, and vice versa. It's who you feed. And we read the Word of God, and we pray and ask God for help, and he guides us through the Scriptures. And even today, you've come to church, and this is the message of the hour. And so God is speaking. What God says will come to pass. And so when he says something like that, Solomon, don't do that. They'll take your heart away. I wonder what he was thinking. Amen? So important to follow what God says. Proverbs 9, you have a picture of a woman calling passerbys to come in and take part. Look at Proverbs 9. There's two verses I want to read there. One is a woman that is wisdom. One is a woman that is foolishness or the world. It says in verse 4, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. That's what the wise woman says. That's what the wisdom of God says. Down in verse 13, same words. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. She sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he knoweth not that the dead are there. Same invitation, both people. I've always illustrated it with the devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other one, and they're both talking. Amen? This is what you need to do to be happy. And now God says, no, this is what you need to do to have peace and joy in your life. Matthew chapter 7, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The storm came, the winds blew, amen, beat against the house, but the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Same storm, same verse, only that building fell. It didn't stand the test of time. Okay, God tells us that. The rock, what's the rock? I'm on the rock at last, I'm on the rock at last, Jesus Christ is the rock. Amen? And we build our life on him and around him. 1 Corinthians 1, you find the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God. James chapter 3, the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. The wisdom that's from beneath is earthly, sensual, devilish. And so we choose, we who believe in Christ, we who love him, we who want to please him and want to serve him and lead other people to Christ, we choose the wisdom that we want. I want the wisdom from above, amen? That's a blessing. And so God tells us exactly what it is and exactly how to find it. We have a great advantage today because we have God's word. There's no question of what his wisdom is. We can go to the scriptures anytime. It deals with absolutely anything. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. There it is, out of his mouth. These are the words of the Lord. What does God have to say about doctrine? You go through the scripture. Romans is a good book. What does God have to say about the family? Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, a number of other scriptures. You can go to those portions of scripture and find out exactly what God says about the family. What does God say about the church? 1 Corinthians 12 is a good chapter. Amen. And we are to help one another and love one another and comfort one another because we all have a different place in the body and we want to strengthen the other parts of the body. Amen. If this arm is getting sore and I'm working with Richard piling wood in the back of his truck and he's making fun of me because I'm so wimpy, but if this arm is getting sore, I can use this arm because it has rested. Or I use both and then they split the load. Amen? That's the church. And there's so much more to that. What does God say about the tongue? James chapter 3, set on fire of hell. No man can tame it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do we know that? Then why use words to destroy somebody's reputation, destroy somebody's life? Amen? And so we know what we're supposed to do with our tongue. It's to glorify God. It's to encourage. It's to guide. It's to help. Amen? Not to destroy a life. What does God have to say about charity? 1 Corinthians 13. Charity suffereth long and is kind, vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up. Wants to do good, doesn't have evil surmisings. I mean, that's charity, that's love in action. So this is all wisdom. We know the verses, don't we? We know the verses. But do the verses live in us? Do they live out of us? And that's how God reaches people. Luke chapter 11 is the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. You're familiar with this story. There's a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he falls among thieves. They beat him. They strip him of his raiment. They rob him, and they leave him half dead by the side of the road. The priest comes by and keeps on going. The Levite comes by and keeps on going. The Good Samaritan came and went to where he was and put him on his own beast, put oil and salve in his wounds, and took him to an inn and told the innkeeper, you take care of him, and I'll pay the bill, and when I come back, if he owes you any more than this, I'll pay the bill. That's a wonderful story, amen? This is what Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. That's how he ends it. Go and do thou likewise. I got to thinking of that word, likewise. Like Jesus was wise. Go and do thou likewise, or wise like. Amen? And so we're like the Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you read about the mind of Christ. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Amen. Lay not this sin to their charge. We look at his life, and we want to be likewise. We want to be wise like him. He tells us it's very, very clear. Forgiveness, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, I believe it is. It talks about forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How have you been forgiven? God's been good to you, amen? God's been good to you. Well, forgive others as Christ forgave us. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, speaking of wisdom, it's not just laying on the top of the ground. Sometimes you have to dig for it. Sometimes it's right there, and it gives you a taste of something that's a little bit deeper. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 2:4. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Man, the gold rush. Man, they left everything and went out there, sacrificed life, limb, everything, and they wanted that gold. Man, they were digging. Some people would hit it, and they'd say, "Eureka, I found it." And then everybody tried to steal his gold, you know. But people wanted that gold. He says, search for it like you'd search for gold. It's hidden. You have to dig a little bit. 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You get your Bible and go on a treasure hunt. You can go anytime you want. You need, you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to that word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And you can go on and on and on. These are all blessings and benefits. These are words of wisdom where I can see the light. And I can follow that light. I can cleanse my heart. Just reading the Bible will do that for you. Amen? And then the wisdom to make it real in your life just is such a blessing. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God prepared for them that love him. But it goes on, but the Spirit reveals them unto us. This is a spiritual book. Amen? The words that I speak unto you, John 6, are spirit and truth. And so we have a spiritual Bible. Thy word, what's the verse I'm looking for, Richard? Can you think of it yet? Boy, that'd be a good one. But Hebrews 4:12, somebody quote it for me. My mind just went blank. Hebrews 4:12, okay. Anyway, I'll come back to it. If you're visiting, leave your number and I'll call you later. Amen. The deep things of God, the deep thing, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Some people just have depth. Amen? They're just not shallow. It's like the word that fell on the shallow ground, the stony ground. But there was some seed that fell on good ground, and that seed went down into the earth. The fowls of the air didn't pluck it away like the devil do in that. It wasn't stony. It wasn't thorny. It didn't choke the word. It went down into the ground, and it brought fruit 100-fold. Man, that's a blessing. I mean, these are all promises. God says this to every one of us. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. A little bit before that, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I'm on his side. I have the Bible and I have the Holy Spirit. And he shows me marvelous things. Amen? And then he gives you the strength and the wisdom to live those things out so people can see your life. Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that are to be desired are not to be compared to it. Do you believe that verse? God said it. Amen? I'm not trying to be sarcastic or mean or anything like that, but do you believe that verse? Listen to it again. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. I mean, it's better than money. It's better than ease. It's better than anything. That's what God says. When my heart believes that, what God says, that's knowledge, and then incorporates it in my life, that's wisdom. That's wisdom, and that's what pleases the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. Whoso findeth me, that's wisdom and understanding, findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Turn to one more scripture, and this will be it. Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. Paul said, finally, brethren, and he went on two more chapters. So that could take place. But I think we'll stop after a few comments here. But this is Job 28. And look with me at verse 12. Job 28:12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold, of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Look at the last verse in that chapter, verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Wisdom makes the departing from evil real in your life. Because you know that that evil will destroy your heart, your mind. It will take you down a wrong road. A lot of casualties will follow you. They'll go in your wake. And you have an influence on people. Everybody here has an influence on people. And to make the wrong mistake, boy, that's tragic. So we want the wisdom of God, amen? And he says, it's fear of the Lord. That is reverence. That's a healthy respect for God and other things that are involved in that. I'm like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. Give me wisdom. That's humility. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. All the verses on humility. I want to close with this little paragraph. Humility is royalty without a crown. There is nothing noble in being superior to your fellow man. True nobility is being superior to your former self. It is unwise to be too sure of one's own wisdom. It is healthy to be reminded that the strongest might weaken and the wisest might err. Nothing will rob you of wisdom like pride. Nothing will give you wisdom like humility, true humility. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the wisest thing you will ever do in life is to ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, to be your Savior, to give you a home in heaven.